Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name's David Reed, and with me as ever is Marek Larwood. Marek, hello.
Hello, David. For listeners, for our regular listeners, we might sound different today because you have rearranged your front room.
I've rearranged my front room, yes. We're now sitting on the opposite side of the room. So the microphone is pointed not in the direction of the howling wind and traffic and all of the police sirens, but actually in the direction of the window that goes into the lovely, picturesque courtyard area of the estate, which currently has some strimming going on. So... and there's some sirens. See if you can tell the difference. I mean, it's the worst recording studio, isn't it?
It's these fine details that brings the millions... sorry, I meant tens of people.
Back, on a good week.
Back week after week. And also, I mean, we always record this a couple of days before. So this goes out on a Friday. So recording's on a Wednesday. On Sunday, I... tried a tweet along to a film.
Yes, was it a success? How did it go?
It was an extraordinary success. Let me paint the picture for you listeners. I picked a film. I thought I'd pick a really dull, average film. I picked Sabotage, showing on Channel 5, which is a 5.7 rating. And as I tweeted, the exact same rating as my life to date, I think.
5.7.
Sure. At the end of it, it had gone down.
Yeah, your life's going okay, but no one could claim it was a 6.
Yeah. that's an optimistic rating.
Yeah.
So I tweeted along, quite a few at the start and then more sporadically towards the end.
Sure.
I thought we'd lose followers, but we gained 4 followers.
Oh, wow. Well, I've never heard of Sabotage. What is it?
It was a lost... Sabotage... it's just any film that Channel 5 are going to show as a network premiere is a bad sign.
They don't splash the cash when it comes to their movies, do they?
It's part of the Arnold Schwarzenegger comeback where he is a...
comeback? When did he ever go away?
When he was a governor.
Ah. Oh, it's post-governor.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So he is the head of the DEA and they, at the start of it, the drug enforcement squad, whatever they're called... they steal some money for some drug lords and then gradually they get killed one by one. It's apparently it was inspired, someone tweeted in, by Agatha Christie's And Then There Were None.
Okay, yeah.
The problem with it is, and I think why no one watched it, is that all the characters are horrible. You know when everyone swears and they're just a real arm, really horrible.
Much like in Agatha Christie's And Then There Were...
well, the opposite to that. But they, not one redeeming feature to any characters. I gave it 3 Mareks. The tweet along was not a real success. It never really, no one particularly showed that much interest. So, I mean, it's good to try these things and throw them away forever.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe a bit of a, more of a heads up. Did you announce it on the day or did you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind.
No, fine.
If you would like us to tweet along to a film, you could email in.
Yeah, do. You can go to filmfandango.com and there's a little contact box you can fill in there and that'll get to us. Go to the contact page. Yes, you've also been to the cinema properly this week, haven't
yes.
you?
Yes. Long-term listeners will remember back in 2014, I think, a film, an indie film, made my top 5 films of the year.
Blue Ruin.
Yeah, it was the year where all films with blue in the title were good. Blue is the warmest colour. It's a general rule we talked about before.
Deep Blue Sea.
This was a film that was just an independent, where the director and the main star basically maxed out their credit cards to pay for this film and shot it on a C300.
Yeah. It's great.
And it did really... And the performances... You get a really fresh performance. The actual main actor was a comic book artist. He cast as the main actor. And he feels really different to the normal actors you see on the telly. Anyway, since then, they've gone on to make bigger films. This one's called Green Room, which makes me wonder if they're doing some sort of three colours, red and blues.
Blue Ruin, Green Room, and Yellow Trousers.
Yellow Trousers.
Yeah.
Or Beige Potato.
Brown Eye,
yeah. I think this is a good game you can play at home. Orange.
That would be a good... I'd watch Orange Orange.
I would watch Orange Orange. Yeah. It's directed and written by Jeremy Saulnier. Okay. Who is a Blue Ruin bloke, and the actor Macon Blair plays a sort of villain in this. They're really interesting filmmakers. Blue Ruin is quite brutal. This is really visceral and brutal.
Really?
To the point I get quite squeamish in extreme gore, and it's not... I don't mind gore if it's unrealistic.
Yeah.
If it's really sort of hot,
sort of Sam Raimi-esque sort of
even
fun.
I always think of the RoboCop, even that gore, the bloke with a toxic waste. Yeah, slightly ridiculous. When it's just sort of knife injuries and things like that, and really hot.
What's the story? What's it about?
So I don't think I'm giving away any spoilers. There's a band who decide that to be really, really cool, they're going to sort of drop off the social media radar. So you're just going to do gigs and just rely on the old-fashioned way of doing things. And they're doing really badly, obviously. They haven't got any money. They're driving around the country, siphoning off petrol to try and get gigs. And they go to one place that's cancelled. And he puts them in touch with a sort of festival going on that his cousin's in charge of, which is in the middle of nowhere. And it's a right-wing group sort of punk festival. And they play. I've seen sort of reviews of this, and they witness something. Basically, the band are about, they play their gig. It's not too many spoilers. They see something horrible.
Yeah.
And suddenly,
they're
witnesses, they're in a gang of right wing sort of fundamentalist cults. And it is. When you watch 70s horror, it reminded me a bit of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Right.
Of it. They're. When violence is most effective is when it seems real, when people get killed or injured and there isn't any... You don't feel there's any logic to it. You don't feel as if, oh, he's a star, he's going to be fine.
Yeah, even it takes away your safety net of knowing it's a story, doesn't it?
Yeah, a bit like when you're on the front row of a comedy gig and they've started, you don't know what's going to happen and you feel tense and stressed the whole way through, and disgusted and scared, and it's not a pleasant experience. I wouldn't say I enjoyed it. I think I enjoyed Blue Ruin more. I found it a really difficult, brutal film.
How frightening is Patrick Stewart?
Patrick Stewart is very good. He plays the sort of main bad guy.
Because I don't think he's often stretched his wings, muscles, whichever metaphor you like, in cinema that often. You know, he's basically done Jean-Luc Picard again for other people, but this looked a bit different.
They're echoes of Jean-Luc. I don't know if he's got the greatest range.
Okay.
I love that Macon Blair bloke. I think he's a really distinct character. He's got a great face. There's a slight touch of the Peter Lorre about him.
Okay.
He's got slightly the googly-eyed thing and just looking a bit different. It's proper surprise shock moments in this that come out of nowhere. There's no rhyme or they've broken down a lot of the conventions of what you feel. It's just all bits of broken glass and injuries. It's horrible. It's not an enjoyable film, but I think these are It's back on. It's still good though. It's good. Yeah, it's good to feel something different afterwards, even if you feel disgusted. I think that's why we go to the cinema. And it's why we read books, is to feel
different things. The extremes of humanity while still being actually safe.
Yes.
We don't have to go and experience these things to go, oh, I was really invigorated. I lost a leg, but it was worth it.
The difference between Blue Ruin is that, I go back to this a lot, that in this, and the same as Sabotage, the band they're not really likeable. They're all sort of horrible.
Right.
They're all dicks. I think he does that on purpose, so you don't really feel...
But why would the director not want you to feel an attachment to people who then get offed? I mean,
I don't know. That
would be a greater experience.
What I found really interesting when I was watching it and the band are in this room, I felt really worried about the girl because she's more vulnerable. So I felt more worried about her safety than the other sort of male members.
Sure.
It's quite odd. I don't know what that makes me, some sort of... modern day Jesus, probably.
Probably, yeah. Sort of gentleman hero.
Yes, I probably am the gentleman hero of the age.
Yeah. Well, you should do more about that.
So
spread the word.
I'm fascinated to see. I want to see what they're going to do next.
Yeah.
If they're going to break out of this sort of brutal thriller, that's their genre they've set up, but with more interesting characters and the. It feels a lot more real life. It reminds me of 70s horror when it felt realistic that a couple of things could go wrong and you could find yourself stuck in, you know, some American Hicksville town with psychopaths, and it felt that brutally real thing. Like, a bit like Friday the 13th, it's a possibility it could happen to you.
The thing I find most frightening about violence in films is... those characters who are not rational in their motivations. They're far more frightening than your Bond villain equivalents, who are educated university men who don't do anything that doesn't benefit them, and their minions who just do what they're told. That's not actually that frightening. I think, certainly as a middle-class, very English man, what terrifies me is the idea I couldn't talk my way out of a situation because the other person just isn't rational. That's frightening. And so when you get those rare characters who just do stuff because they're sort of beasts, that's terrifying.
But in this, the villains are all—they're not all two-dimensional,
right?
There's a gang, and there's different personalities within this gang of these sort of right-wing sort of activists, whatever they are. So you feel there's ones you like more than others in the band. There's ones you like more than others, and there's a sort of arguments going on within the band. There's arguments going on between in the sort of activists as so it's a lot more. They do that really well of not just having, you know, here's a bad guy, kill that bad guy. They give the bad guy's personality, they give the band personality. So it's a good film.
Yeah,
7 or 8, 7 probably. 7 Marricks.
Well, Green Room. There you go. Sounds good. And I'm looking forward to what he does next.
Yeah.
Whether it's Purple Rain.
A remake of
Purple Rain. Or Red Currant Jam.
I mean, red's the colour you naturally go for, isn't it?
What, after blue and green? I don't know. Blue, green.
Red and yellow and blue and green.
Purple and orange and gold. Grey and milk.
Milk and biscuits.
Milkman, maybe, isn't it?
That sounds like a bit of one of our films, Milkman.
Milkman. Well, I think now we've talked about one film, it's time to hear what you think by going to this.
Some people are writing letters, we like reading them out.
Here's an email from Martin Appleyard. It says, "Hello, David and Marek. If you read this out, please have no emotion in your voice." Okay. "What's all the fuss about Mark Rylance? I've just watched Bridge of Spies and enjoyed it a lot, apart from the Oscar-winning performance from Mark Rylance, which was pants. In the movie, his character has his home raided by feds when he is exposed as a Russian spy. He is in a courtroom facing the death penalty, and he is handed back to the Russians, who are almost certainly going to torture and kill him. How does Britain's best actor choose to play this part? He decides to play it as an ultra-calm Zen master,
Yoda-type character. He shows no emotion in any situation. If I was Tom Hanks, I would have punched his lights out if every time I asked an important question, he glibly replied with the catchphrase, "Would it help?" Try it out, David. Ask Marek a series of really important questions, to which Marek always replies, "Would it help?" and see how long before he gets his lights punched out. He's also just won a BAFTA for Wolf Hall, which was a piece of boring bobbins. Question: who do you think is overrated as an actor? Keep watching the films. Martin Appleyard. Do you believe that's true, Marek?
Yeah, I remember when I talked about Bridge of Spies a year ago, I found it very odd that people were raving at his performance.
Yeah.
It's so small. He doesn't do anything.
Mm.
He doesn't do any. And you can't say he's bad.
Oh, because he's clearly, if you've ever seen him doing theatre acting, I've seen him a few times, he's phenomenal.
Yeah.
So it's a choice. It's a definite choice.
But he doesn't. And in Wolf Hall as well, he barely moves his face.
Mm.
And in Bridge of Spies, I thought he's totally sapped the energy out of every scene. And I thought it was a really boring performance. And it makes you think you're mad. You think you stop trusting people's judgment when people are saying, "Oh, Mark Rylance was brilliant." It wasn't.
Yeah.
He didn't actually do. I wonder if it's.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen him in these performances. I haven't seen Wolf Hall and I've not seen Bridge of Spies, so I can't really comment. I've only seen him in Blitz, which is a very, very odd film, which is 50% properly gritty crime drama.
Yeah.
And it's got Paddy Considine and Mark Rylance and Aidan Gillen in it. And it's the other 50% is a Jason Statham movie with Jason Statham being all Jason Statham, really. And Mark Rylance, again, doesn't do very much, but he is good in it. It's a tricky one, isn't it? Because part of me wonders if it's just ego, where if you do less, if you react less, if you are less emotionally involved than people around you, you seem better than them, higher status than them. Like, the other people seem silly for caring so much, and it elevates you, but at the expense of the project.
Well, there's a comedy actor, a bloke, I won't mention his name. Do you know what I'm talking about? Anyway,
sure.
There's a comedy actor, and I've been in a few things with him, and I go too big in my problem anyway, but he didn't move his face at all.
Right.
He barely moved. You could just have had a paper cut out. You know when you have those really bad puppets where you have the mouth and a bit of paper and you up and down?
Yeah.
You just done that. That's all he was doing. So quiet. Every single thing was just like,
well, there's other techniques I've heard about where if you're incredibly quiet, the boom operator needs to get closer to you, which means that the camera operator then needs to give you more of a close-up to frame the boom out. So it's a technique of getting more close-ups.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, there's all sorts of tricks.
What a cynical world.
I know.
Who do you think is overrated?
Oh, plenty of people. I would have to go for someone who's... I don't know, because there are people who've just worked consistently and I don't think people do celebrate them that much. You know, the likes of Nicole Kidman, who I've never enjoyed.
But she's still better than Keira Knightley, though.
Keira Knightley just does what Keira Knightley does. I don't know, she's not strong. She's a bit wooden.
Mm.
Although I enjoyed her in Atonement. I thought Atonement was very good. I don't know. Who about you, apart from Mark Rylance?
Mark Rylance, Keira Knightley.
Pretty much everyone from the kids from the Harry Potter films.
I think Daniel Radcliffe is... it's very odd, Daniel Radcliffe, because I was having to do some research, to watch loads of internet things for the thing I was writing, and there are lots of Daniel Radcliffe sort of interviews and him joining in. He just seems like a nerdy kid.
Well, he is.
Who's really buffed out. He's been Hollywoodified, you know, got really muscly and quite...
And it doesn't suit him, really. In Woman in Black, where he's in the film version, he's actually really good.
But he's just too young for
it. Apart from when he opens his mouth, because his voice isn't that of a leading man. His voice is weak, and you end up going, but the story's not about how weak he is, so why is he in this part? And he can't play a parent. He just doesn't look like one yet. You know, it's very, very odd. But I think Emma Watson is worse. I think she's totally...
I've not really seen anything since...
She's in the new live-action Beauty and the Beast they've made as Beauty, as Belle. And they've released a teaser for it now. And it's just... Even the one line they've used in the teaser is wooden.
I don't really think... I noticed in the next X-Men, there's Sansa Stark from Grey of Stones. I always thought she was... Game of Thrones. Oh my god.
Grave of Stones.
I've always thought she was terrible in that. And then
I think it's very difficult with child actors though, because they cast them for some ability but mostly their look, and then they grow into different looks, and you don't know whether you're going to be one of those confident teenagers or nervy teenagers. And I think it would amplify your insecurities as a teenager to be doing it all in the public eye. I can't imagine anything worse at that
age. I can.
Oh, sure, there are worse things, but I can't imagine anything worse.
Here is a message that's come through our website. That's nice, isn't it?
It's always nice. Go to filmfandango.co.uk or com and fill in the form.
This is from Johnny Atfield. That's a good name.
It is.
Dear American David, I recently discovered your brilliant podcast. Can't remember how.
Great story.
But glad that I did anyway. How do you think he did do it?
I don't know, because there's literally no way of finding it.
Unless you spilt tea on your keyboard
yeah.
and you're trying to wipe off. And by some fluke, you spell that. That's how we get new listeners. Anyway.
I'm steadily working
my way through your back catalogue on iTunes while driving to work. Not in one go, that would be a bloody long journey. A great idea in theory, although I have to check my mirrors every time I hear sirens on your podcast. Anyhow, on to the films. I recently saw an article on the BBC website, one that was actually so good that I read the whole thing. It was about a group of Finnish divers who tried to traverse an underwater cave in Norway called the Pleura. Two divers died during their original descent, and owing to the complexity and depth of the caves, the body could not be recovered. A film documentary, Diving into the Unknown, has been produced about the dive and the group's subsequent attempts to recover the bodies of their friends. I encourage you to seek out the article and take a look at the film's website, where you can see the trailer. It looks stunning. Ordinarily, the thought of a foreign subtitled film will leave me cold. The mere thought of having to read whilst watching being a total put off. However, this looks amazing, and the story equally so. So that's that, yeah. And he says, I've been following your Boeing Man plans with interest. I wonder if you considered setting up a GoBumMe.com crowdfunding website to help get this project off the ground. Anyhow, keep watching the films. Regards, Johnny. So, Diving into the Unknown, that's something
sounds
to look out
good.
For.
Yeah.
That's one of my terrors, is having to go potholing or diving into
the
caves.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a scuba diver. I'm, you know, qualified rescue diver. And I still am not sure about cave diving. Because, you know what, it doesn't sound that enjoyable. It's just one of those dangerous things for the sake of it. Like,
you hold a wire and go through caves underground.
If you're lucky, there's a wire. If you're actually exploring, you'll just be going through caves. And often, if they're too small for humans, you have to take your tank off and push it in front of you as you go. And you keep an eye on your air gauge like a hawk, because the time it took you to get there, if you're exploring, you don't know if there's if it actually goes through or whether it just stops. So at the halfway point, you need to go back and at the same speed or you'll run out of air.
I think the terror of getting stuck underwater, you are absolutely screwed.
Yeah, especially if there isn't open water above you. It's why open water diving is so much more relaxing.
Why would you ever want to do that?
Well, I don't know, just because other people haven't, I guess, but it's not for me.
Where's the enjoyment in it?
No, well, finding a cave that you're the first human beings to ever be inside, I guess.
Yeah, because you're totally a natural being. Do you want to read a message?
Yeah. Which one?
The next one from our website is from Joel Chivers.
Hello, David, Merrick and Buddy. While I am an avid film lover, I do find myself frequently going to YouTube for entertainment more often than I should, One of the channels on there I often go to is the Cinemassacre channel, which produce videos about games, movies and other topics. Watching one of their videos brought up an interesting fact of how both the Pink Panther and Halloween film franchises have similar names for different installments, e.g. both franchises, fourth film is Return of, the fifth is Revenge of. Have you ever noticed any other unintentional similarities between movies and movie franchises such as this? Keep watching the films. Joel from Bromley. Thank you, Joel.
That's a really good point.
It is, yeah. It's incredibly obscure, and I've said it before and nobody responded, but in Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the last time you see Leonard Nimoy, he puts his hand to a glass window in a door, and then the next scene they play Amazing Grace on the bagpipes, and that's the exact same thing that happens to him in Wrath of Khan, where he puts his hand on the glass window.
Oh, really?
And at his funeral they play Amazing Grace on the bagpipes. It's a weird coincidence.
Yeah.
I have no idea what it means. Or whether it's just Americans love Amazing Grace on the bagpipes at funerals. I don't know.
There was, I can't remember, I saw a film where, was it about weird coincidences? I think it was always really weird when you see an actor who's, before they've got famous,
yeah,
and they become famous with a different sort of genre of films in a different...
Sure.
In a smaller part of it.
It's like seeing Lloyd Bridges from Airplane in some serious dramas.
Yes, he went in the Westerns.
That's always weird. Or Leslie Nielsen even. Yeah. I saw the weirdest, is it called Creepshow? And it's a series of short horror stories, of which Stephen King definitely wrote one, if not all of them, and he cameos in one himself as a man slowly turning into a plant. Anyway, there's a revenge murder story that starts, and it's serious and sort of horrible, but it stars Leslie Nielsen and Ted Danson, and it's just weird seeing those two in a horror. You just go, this is so light. I can't quite believe it.
I think the film I saw last year, I think it's called The Day the Earth Caught Fire, or some odd 50s film,
right,
apocalypse film, and it's got Michael Caine plays a policeman, a very young Michael Caine, directing someone the cars to go to a certain way,
right,
and it's so obviously Michael Caine from his voice, you can see it's him,
yeah,
but it's just a one line part, and it's really odd seeing him, a superstar, just as a crappy extra role. I don't know if that's answered the question at all, probably not.
No, but weird coincidences between franchises, no, I can't think of any others off the top of my head.
That's a really good one though, the name thing. Why not send your weird coincidences in?
Yeah, help us out with this one. You can email us at dearfilmfandango@gmail.com or just go to our website, filmfandango.com, and fill in the form there. Or you can start a conversation on Facebook, /filmfandango, or you can tweet us at Mr. David Reed, at Marek Larwood, and at Film Fandango. Right, well, I've seen a film this week as well.
Oh, before that...
What?
If you want to do the donations bit.
All right.
But I think this is a special week because this is the Film Fandango host's birthday week.
It is. It's my birthday, well, yesterday, as this has been released, tomorrow in terms of how we're recording it.
Yeah.
And it's yours next week, isn't it?
So a week, yours is on Thursday, isn't it?
That's right.
So our birthdays are 7 days apart.
Also, this was the week where all of the Hammer Horror guys had their birthdays.
Yeah.
So
June the 2nd, Peter Cushing, is it?
Peter Cushing is May 26th. I think it...
Oh, it's the thing you died, it's on June the 2nd.
Right.
Scaramanga,
yeah. Christopher Lee, and then Vincent Price was around this time as well.
I am going to be 40 years old. So I got out of here thinking, how can we get presents to Davy and Marek to thank them for this podcast we are still listening to? The best present would be to donate via our website.
Okay.
£1 million.
£1 million. I'd feel guilty if someone gave me a gift of £1 million.
If someone donated £1 million,
yeah,
then I would happily...
We would immediately stop doing the podcast.
No, I would happily do this. I'll do it for the next 10 years then. And we do videos.
Sure.
We might go for it.
Okay.
So if we can try and get to that million...
million pound mark.
Well, no, if you'd like to donate towards the podcast, because it has been free for many, many weeks now, over 4 years of weeks, then go to filmfandango.com and press the donate button. And everyone who has, thank you very much.
Yes, thank you very much.
I've seen a film this week.
Yes.
I caught up on one of the Oscar buzzy films from last year that I missed out on. Not any of the ones you've talked about already. It's one that we passed us by that I was actually interested in at the time, which is Creed. Now, which is the latest offering from the Rocky film franchise.
Stallone was hotly tipped to win the Oscar for this, but he didn't.
He was, and I think it's right that he didn't. This performance is the same as his other ones, which is it's good. And it's got that perfect balance that Stallone just manages of sort of affable, real, and sentimental. Like, he is almost, in terms of his film choices, the Robin Williams of violence. Whereas Robin Williams combined screwball comedies with deep sentimentality.
Mm.
Sylvester Stallone combines violence and murdering people with deep sentimentality. And the Rocky franchise, for me, works better than the Expendables one. Because with the Expendables one, they're mercenaries in a foreign land, literally murdering people, and then having heart-to-heart conversations about being brothers. And in Rocky, they're just sportsmen, working-class sportsmen giving it a go.
Is this just a total rehash of Rocky, then?
Well, look, all Rocky films are a total rehash of Rocky. It's a genre, almost, in itself, but it invented so many of the tropes of sports movies. And does it really well. It's a character-driven, traditional sports film. But this one does have a difference in that Rocky Balboa himself, Sylvester Stallone, has taken a side seat to be the mentor character, not the leading role. And Apollo Creed's illegitimate son...
Is it Michael Jordan or something he's called?
Michael B. Johnson.
Michael B. Johnson, yeah.
I think it's his name.
It's a famous athlete. He's put a letter in to differentiate between himself... And a really famous athlete.
No, it's Jordan. You're right, yeah. Michael B. Jordan. Who's really good, actually. He's excellent as Adonis Creed. Adonis Johnson, that's why I was thinking of Johnson. Who then takes his father's name because he's forced to, because people want to make money off him.
Is it just a more hip-hop version of Rocky?
No, there's no hip-hop in it. Weirdly, Sylvester Stallone is now as old as Burgess Meredith was playing his coach in the first Rocky film.
The Penguin.
Yeah, the Penguin. As old as the Penguin was. You know what? I enjoyed Rocky Balboa when old Rocky works, you know?
Yeah.
And there's more tragedy to him. And Stallone knows how to play it, but keep it slightly lighter. And there's always levity in his script. This is the first one he's not written.
Okay.
But it is very, very much a Rocky film. It's not gone into the 80s territory of being sort of campy and a bit ludicrous. They lost their way. This is a sequel to Rocky Balboa. And just like all the best of the Rocky films, it's really enjoyable, you know?
Okay.
It's good character stuff. There's good dialogue in there. There's some excellent training montages. There's, I think, 3 or 4 of them in this film. And... There are moments that do hit you because they care about their characters.
It's the same thing, is it? He starts out against the odds, hopeful, something goes wrong, he looks like he's going to lose.
Sure, but I mean, you're describing all stories. I mean, it's about the journey, not about the structure.
Oh, come on, David!
You know, he starts out, wants to be a boxer, gets some success, gets more and more success, and then everyone in the world dies. That would be a different story, but probably not very satisfying.
Or he trips on his way to the ring, his shorts come down and everyone sees his bits.
Everyone sees his bits, yeah. And then America falls into the sea.
And a seagull comes. By some fluke, a seagull flies onto... It's an outdoor fight.
Yeah.
And it thinks it's another... It thinks he mistakes his genitals for another bird.
Yeah.
And attacks it.
And the next hour of the film is him trying to stop this seagull attacking his bits.
It takes everything
in real time. One
it's
shot.
It's an albatross. It makes him into a eunuch.
Eventually. Spoilers!
And then he has to become he loses. He hasn't got his balls to create the testosterone, whatever it is. It becomes really passive, and he gets into.
This sounds sort of like a bit of a more of a dream than a film you're describing, but
what as an ambition?
Yeah, I think you should make it. But it's interestingly, it does slightly, to use a really crap pun, it does pull its punches a bit, in that it does have moments of great tragedy and sadness, and there's some great dialogue in there, but it doesn't go whole hog, this is a human drama with great tragedy in it. It goes slightly the side of popcorn.
Okay.
But it is hugely enjoyable. Sylvester Stallone knows how to write a sports movie.
I think so. He's done the same film about 20 times.
Well, exactly. I've got no problem with that. Like, if it's a good one. And they clearly want the franchise to carry on now with a new character. But I think this is a perfect place to leave it.
Frankly. Yeah, they won't. It made money. It won't leave me left.
Yeah, the next one will be less good if Stallone isn't doing it or whatever. But
yeah,
I mean, there's a really sad bit where, because Rocky, the character, he doesn't recast people, really, Stallone. So if the actor's died, the character is dead. Or if the actor won't do it, the character's dead, you know. And there's a scene where he goes to Paulie and Adrian's graves, who are both now gone.
Yeah.
And he goes there and he takes a chair down out of a tree that he leaves there, and he just starts telling them about his day like he does every single day. And it's just like, yeah, he's got nobody left, has he? That's it. This is it's just him left on his own talking to. And it's very much, in terms of Stallone, and this is why he was hotly contended, this is a story about a man who's sort of, his day's done. And everyone, his people have all gone already.
People like my life now, I'm turning 40.
Well, maybe you'd like watching Creed. Maybe you need to start mentoring a young black comic.
Yeah.
Maybe that would give your life new meaning, which is what this is about, obviously.
Who'd have thought?
Who was your old rival who's had an illegitimate child?
No one's had an illegitimate child, no.
Oh, that's a shame.
But who would have thought that I would have found my life's purpose through a second hand, what, through you watching a Rocky film?
Turns out that's how it works. But not Creed. I enjoy it. I think it's another great sports film. It doesn't do much different to the other ones. In fact, it probably does nothing different, but it's still a good romp. You know, I'd give it 7. I think it's enjoyable.
7.
Yeah.
Well, that's about it, isn't it? We'd better go and celebrate our birthdays.
Hooray, cake!
And I'll be back next week with my new mentor. My protégé.
Your mentee.
Mentee. My protégé, is that the word?
Yeah, yeah, your protégé, your apprentice.
Delroy.
Delroy. Well, you can't just pick his name. He'll have a name.
No, he's a comic. He's a black comic.
Oh, is he?
Delroy.
Do you know Delroy wants to do this?
He's very keen.
Oh, okay, good. Well, that'll be good. You can teach him some moves.
I'll teach him how to not finish sentences.
Yeah.
And say sort of a lot. That's the key to it.
Invaluable advice. We'll be back next week. Keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.